Got some follow-ups on past episodes for you today. If you loved the originals, you're going to love hearing the new information even more. Today we've got some extra stuff on the Tunguska event of 1908, the famous reincarnation story of the boy who thought he lived a past life as a World War II fighter pilot, a big reveal on the famous haunted Dybbuk box, and much more. That's coming up right now on Skeptoid. Head on over to skeptoid.com/store and explore the Skeptoid store where curiosity meets cool. We have books, socks, shirts, hoodies, and more. Check out our slick new Bigfoot design, where the mystery of this legendary cryptid never looked so good. And while you're here, don't forget to grab a Skeptoid USB drive, your portal to all episodes and all our movies, now including the UFO movie They Don't Want You to See. That's not all we have planned. We have a lineup of way more cool stuff coming soon. So head on over, skeptoid.com/store, and snag your swag. This episode is sponsored in part by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com. Follow-ups and extras. I was about to open this episode by saying it's time for another of my favorite category of shows, but I had to stop myself because, honestly, I love them all equally. So it's time for another type of show I really love. It's a listener feedback episode, and I'm going to feature stuff that any of you have written in about that adds some color or new information to past shows. The reason I love these episodes so much is that it's a shotgun blast of blurbs about famous urban legends. Most of which you've heard of, some of which you may not have, but all of which are fascinating by themselves in that each offers a unique view into human nature. We'll get started with our recent episode number 803 on the Tunguska event, the famous explosion over a Siberian forest in 1908 attributed to a large meteor. In the introduction, I said the explosion produced the loudest sound in human history, as reported in the sources for the episode. Quite a few of you replied to this very quickly, via email, Twitter, Facebook, pretty much everywhere, asserting that it was either the explosive eruption of Krakatoa in 1883, or the 1961 nuclear test by the Soviet Union called Tsar Bomba, that are generally acknowledged as the loudest sounds ever. Now, it is indeed true that most articles on the subject say that. The reason is that most of these articles were written prior to December 2018, when the primary source for my episode was published, or else they were evidently unaware of this newer information. It came from the international group that met at NASA Ames to use all the new data gathered from the 2013 Chelyabinsk event to more accurately characterize the Tunguska event. Although their published report did not talk about the sound, it did substantially upgrade the probable energy level of the explosion. Previous estimates for Tunguska had ranges up to 300 decibels. The revised estimates start at 300 decibels. Keeping in mind that all of these are probabilities based on many variables, so every published paper gives different estimates. The top three sounds in human history, meaning they were heard by the ears of modern humans, are Tunguska, Krakatoa, and then Tsar Bomba. However, I should have said Tunguska was probably the largest sound. A number of you also pointed out that comparisons like this are invalid, since sound can't actually be louder than 194 decibels. At that amplitude, the pressure difference between the peaks and valleys in the acoustic wave is 1 atmosphere. Thus, it would require negative pressure to get louder, which is impossible. The explosions we're talking about produced shock waves, which means the wave fronts are moving faster than the speed of sound. Although shock waves and acoustic waves are not the same thing, both have amplitudes that can be measured in decibels. Thus, it's not meaningless to talk about the sound produced by explosions like this at levels like 300 decibels, though it is, strictly speaking, not really an acoustic sound. Next, we've got some tasty tidbits on episode number 612, about a young boy who made headlines in 2009 when his parents, Andrea and Bruce Leininger, published the book Soul Survivor, announcing their son James as a legitimate case of reincarnation. He had lived a past life as a World War II fighter pilot. Believers in reincarnation embraced it eagerly. The boy had what seemed an unnatural interest in fighter planes and even knew the names of specific aircraft carriers and details of certain pilots' careers. But the story was never persuasive to either objective fact-checkers or to those knowledgeable in psychology. The parents had, for years, prompted and guided their son in the construction of this narrative, all under the guidance of a professional past-life regression therapist in whom they placed complete faith. There are two pieces of new news on this story. First is that I heard from listener Michael Suddeth, who has just written a magnum opus paper deconstructing this case, published in the Journal of Scientific Exploration. He interviewed a dozen people and reviewed everything written on the case, and detailed countless times that Bruce Leininger misrepresented the timeline and other facts. The paper is a monumental takedown. According to Suddeth's research, the Leiningers were clearly consciously deceptive in numerous instances. But at its core, it's really a case of them having honestly deluded themselves to begin with, and then tweaked both the narrative and their impressionable young son in order to bolster the fantasy they so desperately want to believe. The second piece of news involves our old friend Robert Bigelow, the wallet and mastermind behind so much UFO news from recent decades, including all the recent Pentagon stuff and his old Skinwalker Ranch project. Bigelow's current project is the Institute for Consciousness Studies, which seeks to prove the reality of the afterlife. In November of 2021, Bigelow's Institute awarded Bruce Leininger $20,000 for a paper about his son as, quote, definitive proof of reincarnation. Could the bar possibly be set any lower for, quote, definitive proof? Are you ready to take your Skeptoid experience to the next level? Head on over to skeptoid.com/gopremium to become a proud member and unlock a world of exclusive benefits. Picture this: ad-free listening and extended versions of every new episode, diving deep into the mysteries and real truth without interruption. Take this opportunity to elevate your journey and join the Skeptoid community today. Skeptoid.com/gopremium. Moving on to episode number 428 about the Dybbuk Box, an antique wine box supposedly haunted by a malevolent spirit from Hebrew mythology called a Dybbuk. It was originally listed on eBay by Kevin Manis and then passed through a string of owners who reported all kinds of terrible things and bad luck caused by the box. It has since come out that Manis, a fiction writer, has acknowledged that the entire Dybbuk Box story was a piece of fiction like any other. I first heard about this from my friend Kenny Biddle, who interviewed Manis on his YouTube show in 2021.
I used the words confessed when describing what was inside Charles' article here, where you pretty much said, yes, you made up everything. So can you elaborate on that?
You just make it up. I'm a writer, man. That's what I do. I came up with the concept and wrote a story.
Okay. Yeah. I do the same thing. I understand the creative part, but wouldn't you agree that's making it up?
Well, yeah. Same way as H.G. Wells made up the time machine.
If it sounds like he's being a bit too cagey, here's what Manus told Input magazine just a few days before Kinney's interview.
I am a creative writer. The Dybbuk box is a story that I created, and the Dybbuk box story has done exactly what I intended it to do when I posted it 20 years ago, which is to become an interactive horror story in real time.
So hopefully you can all stop emailing me that my episode needs to be retracted because the Dybbuk box story is so compelling that it absolutely must be true. Episode number 424 was about the Santa Barbara Simoom of 1859, an apocryphal event in which a blast of superheated wind hit this coastal California town. Suffice it to say that a lot is wrong with the story. The California coast does get very hot winds, but nowhere near the temperatures or levels of destruction claimed in the 1859 tall tale. Published accounts about the event point out that the temperature in Santa Barbara that day reached 133 degrees Fahrenheit, about 56 degrees Celsius, and then usually go on to say that it was the world's hottest temperature until Death Valley hit 134 in 1913. However, meteorologists generally all discount that Death Valley reading as being unreliable, and it's likely to soon be decertified, as happened with a 136 claimed for Libya in 1922, along with a 131 from Tunisia in 1931. But the Simoom episode has needed a new update on its transcript. Death Valley registered an official, accurate 130.0 degrees Fahrenheit, 54.4 degrees Celsius, on July 9, 2021. That is the legitimate new highest temperature ever recorded on Earth. Though it has not yet, as of this writing, been officially certified, it probably will. Incidentally, I was there just a few days before, but only caught 126. I was super bitter that I missed it. An update of my own is next. Episode number 275 debunked a huge number of false claims about fracking, mostly from the popular 2010 movie Gasland, which depicted all kinds of dramatic and bizarre environmental consequences from fracking, very few of which were true. As I always say, if you want to address a problem effectively, you need to have an accurate understanding of the problem, not a cartoonish caricature of it. There is one major consequence from fracking that was not mentioned in the episode, and that's probably the most important reason to stop it. It's not caused by the fracking process itself, but by the natural gas mines that fracking feeds off. Opening up these natural gas reservoirs is the number one source of atmospheric methane in the United States and in some other countries. As we recently discussed in episode number 797 on atmospheric methane, curtailing the release of methane is a supercritical tipping point in the fight against global warming. And so, regardless of whether fracking itself causes any strange problems or not, fracking, and all natural gas mining, must be stopped completely as soon as possible. The short version being there's one true reason to stop fracking. We don't need a bunch of false reasons weakening the argument. Finally, I want to give a quick nod to my listener, Max, who wrote in with a plausible suggestion that probably explains some eyewitness accounts of so-called shadow people. Episode number 175 was all about these shadow people, black, ghostly figures that people see in their house, but who often dart out of the way when they turn to look. Max wrote,
I have a floater in my right eye that under certain light conditions, i.e. low light at night when I'm working in my office, creates the illusion that someone just on the edge of my field of vision is trying to sneak up on me, or standing still looking at me on my far right-hand side. When I turn to look, obviously there's nothing there because of the change in relative position between the floater and where I am looking. This floater appeared some 20 years ago, and the first time it happened, I genuinely felt that there was someone there, and I recalled having read something about people being watched by shadow people. It was not long after that I saw an ophthalmologist who explained what it was.
While Max's personal story is anecdotal, floaters are a real ophthalmological thing and do produce dark circles, dots, blobs, or lines in the vision. They probably do explain some eyewitness accounts of shadow people, but certainly it would be silly to claim it explains all of them. So, that's all the feedback and follow-ups we have for you this week. Next week, we'll be back in business with a full regular episode. And until then, keep the show honest. Keep that feedback coming in. You know who else is honest? Skeptoid's premium members like Rob Palmer, the well-known skeptic, Mark Curry from Melbourne, Australia, Shawnee the Argonaut Moon from Wyoming, and Damian Cassidy. Remember, every Skeptoid episode has a transcript page at skeptoid.com with complete bibliographic references and further reading suggestions. And they also print out into nicely formatted PDF documents that you can share. And don't forget to order the Skeptoid books. They make great bathroom reading, and they're awesome gifts for people who don't listen to podcasts. Get them in our online store at skeptoid.com/store or wherever books are sold. You're listening to Skeptoid, a listener-supported program. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com.